The subject this morning is the power of our memories. There was an older couple sitting out on their front porch, and the wife looks to the husband and said, "George, I'd like to have a bowl of vanilla ice cream." He says, "I'm on it. I'll get it." She said, "Well, you may want to write that down." He said, "No, I got it. Vanilla ice cream. I'll go get it." She says, "Oh, could you put some strawberries on top of that ice cream?" He said, "Sure, I'll do that." She said, "Well, you might need to write that." No, I got it. Vanilla ice cream, strawberries on top. You're good." She said, "Oh, and could you add some whipped cream? And I know you're going to need to write this down." He said, "No, I don't need to write it down. I got it. That's no problem. I can remember those three things, vanilla ice cream, strawberries, and whipped cream." So he goes in the kitchen, and she hears him hustling and bustling around. Took him quite a while. Finally, he comes out onto the porch, and he has a piping hot order of bacon and scrambled eggs. She looks at him and says, "I knew it. You forgot the toast." Well, our memories can become confused in lots more ways than that, dear friend. It's amazing how our memories impact and affect us. And all of us here this morning, we have memories. Like your computer has a hard drive, a place where all the activity of the computer, all the keys you've pressed, the commands that you've entered, the websites you've visited, the documents that you've typed out, the photos you've stored, all of that is archived. There's a history of it. And similarly, in your mind, you have a storehouse of memories, your history, things you've done, places you've been, experiences you've had, encounters that you've experienced. All of those kind of things make up your memories. And memories can be good or bad. They can be positive or negative. They can be godly or ungodly, holy or unholy. But they are very powerful. And I don't think we're necessarily called to forget things. Paul said, forget those things which are behind you. And he's talking about you don't live in the past. But I think what the Scripture calls us to is to make sure that we respond to the memories we have in the right way. Your memories can be weaponized against you. And we're going to see that today. I'm going to share Scripture with you. And the goal today is for us, those of us that maybe are taunted, tormented, tempted, set back, depressed, made sick because of the way we process the past, that the Holy Spirit will pour His healing oil into our memories in this house today so that we can be transformed, healed, and made whole. So very, very important. The main text I want to share with you today, and I'm going to move past some things that I'm not going to share with you. Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah is the human author of the book of Lamentations. It's full of lamenting and sadness. When you read just chapter 3, he spills his guts before God. He's in the middle of a very tragic time for the city and for the nation of the southern kingdom of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar and his armies have raided the land. They've destroyed Jerusalem, and they've led most of the people away captive. And Jeremiah is found weeping in the ruins. And don't take the time right now, but later, you read that whole third chapter, I mean, it's raw. And he's crying out in his agony, like, because he knows Jerusalem has now been judged by God. It's God's wrath. You see, often it's in the middle of bad things happening that we can be turned sour on God if we are not careful. And sometimes, even if we hold up during the bad times and get past it, the enemy will use memories that we retrieve and try to poison them against us so that we'll grow sour on God. It happens all the time. Why did God do this? Why did God allow this? Where was God? All these questions. But Jeremiah, he begins here in the verses I'm reading. He says in verses 18 through 20, he said, "And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me." He's low. But there's a shift when we get to verse 21 where he begins to line up his thoughts in the right way. And he says, then, he said, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope." Well, what's he recalling to his mind now? Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. In other words, we all deserve to be scorched, but we weren't. He said, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He knew about Israel to the north who fell 200 years before Judah to the south did. The idolatry, the rebellion, the blasphemy that was happening among God's people. And God had to move in judgment to kind of create a reset for them. And Jeremiah is saying, it would have all been over except your compassions don't fail. And your mercies, they're there. And we weren't consumed because of it. And now every morning there's mercy for us. And then he makes that declaration, great is your faithfulness. You see, Jeremiah understood God had a covenant relationship with Israel. He had made a promise to Abraham and all of Abraham's offspring. They would not be wiped off the face of the earth. There are still forces today wanting to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. But God made a promise to Abraham concerning that people and that land, and God's good for his word. And Jeremiah understood that. God, in the middle of all this, your mercy has sustained us. Your compassion has sustained us, and your faithfulness is apparent. He was able to see the hand of God moving in the middle of all that tragedy. When you woke up this morning, listen to me, believer, regardless of what you did last night, when you woke up this morning, the scripture says, there's mercy for you. His mercies are new every morning. That bombardment of your mind that's been happening, that's causing you to feel numb toward everything going on in your life. You may feel like your mind's being fire hosed with thoughts that won't relent, just coming at you strong. I'm telling you, there is mercy in this house this morning because the God of mercy is in this house this morning. And we want to stand on his word and ask him to help you with whatever you're going through. Your hurt, your heartache, that addiction that hasn't been broken, that past that hasn't been healed. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is here today as helper to help you. Let me make this declaration. The Holy Spirit can take what was meant for your destruction and turn it into a monument of his keeping grace. You'll find that help nowhere else on the planet. But God can do it. You may feel like you don't deserve it. Well, let me just clear that up for you. You don't. Neither do any of the rest of us. But that doesn't keep him from giving it to us. Thank God for that. He's a merciful God. And let me tell you something else. There's not a one of us in this room better than any other one in this room. Regardless of your past or my past, The only way we can be redeemed, reconciled to God, and have hope of everlasting life is through the perfections of Jesus Christ and the merits of his atoning work on the cross. He bore your sin and my sin in his body on the cross. And when we place faith in him, then his work for us becomes beneficial for us. We get what he earned, if you will. What he purchased becomes ours as a free gift from the hand of a merciful God. Praise his name. Praise his name. So just go ahead and fold that long nose up. If you're looking down your nose at someone else and think you're better than them, direct that nose heavenward and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's where the glory is. I am my beloved and he is mine. I think we ought to just all say that out loud. I am my beloved and he is mine. I hope you know him, because he's so merciful. He's so faithful. And he's so very compassionate. He knows your hurt. He knows about that dark stuff. And it doesn't keep him from loving you and being merciful to you and helping you. Let me share some thoughts with you. The first truth I want to step into is around the idea of the battles that take place around our memories. There is a battle that's taking place around your memories. It's always present. What do I mean by that? I mean by this: God wants to use your memories in a way to bless you, to help you heal, to help you become whole. He wants his grace and his healing to come into your memories and let you see him in a way you've never seen him. The enemy wants to use your memories to destroy you. He wants to freeze you in your worst moment. He wants you living in your past. And as I heard a preacher say one time and repeated a few times since, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Listen to me, blood-washed child of the living God that the Holy Spirit lives inside of. Listen to me a minute. Greater is he that's in you than that lying devil that's trying to tell you you're a worthless, no good somebody. You're made flawless by the blood. Now, I agree, we all agree, we're a work in process. But judicially before God, all that had to be done for you to be saved was accomplished at the cross, made available to you, and when by faith you received it, it became yours. Your name's in the book. Your sins are under the blood. You're in the family. And God is for you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there's battle around your memories. And that brings me to the second truth that I want to talk about. And I want you to keep this in mind, that Israel was warned. They said, Moses told them, you beware. He's talking about when you get in the promised land, you beware. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God wants you to remember what he's done for you. He cautions us about forgetting what he's done for us. Through Joshua, he told the children of Israel, when they crossed over, Joshua said, get some of those big rocks out of the middle of the river. Bring 12 of them over here. They made a memorial, and he told them, when your children in the future, they ask you, well, what's that pile of rocks? What's that memorial? Then you tell them how I brought you across the Jordan. God was telling them, in order for your children to be equipped and prepared for the battles they're going to have to fight, they need to know the victories that you've won and what I did for you. That's part of what he's wanting us to understand about all this warfare around our memories. And then we have the occasion when David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David stood before Saul, he wanted to go fight Goliath the giant. And he told Saul, he said, "Hey, I had a lion attack me one day, and then another time a bear attacked me, but the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine, this giant." David recalled God's faithfulness in his past battles and went out there and beheaded Goliath. So we're seeing here, God is saying something through these scriptures. We need to remember what he's done. It'll be helpful for us when we face our battles. And that brings me to that second truth I want to discuss. The enemy wants to hijack your memories and weaponize them against you. It's just truth, the world that we live in, that we all have stupid stuff that we regret doing. And if you're still in the place where you hadn't yet regretted the stupid stuff, there's mercy for you too, friend, today, right? But we all have some list of failures, and the enemy loves to dredge those up and dig those up and taunt you and accuse you and torment you with those memories. We have three enemies that will be at work trying to influence your memories against what's best for you. First one is Satan. I won't read the whole scripture, but this is the scripture in the book of Revelation chapter 12 where we're told something about the nature of Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. He loves to hurl accusations concerning believers. He loves to stir the pot out there in culture about the mistakes of believers. And he loves to get into our mind and mess with our heads about our past mistakes. One of the reasons that I'm sharing this message today, and I shared this with our elders in our prayer time before coming out here, is that in these last several weeks, I've just noticed a real uptake in how the enemy has been trying to create warfare in my thinking. Like thoughts that will come, trying to stir battles up that were fought long ago and won. Trying to remind you of why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. I'm so grateful that the devil's not called on to qualify who God can use and can't use. Oh, Slewfoot, God will even use him. He does. He used him in the days of Job to show that there was a man that wouldn't buckle under the most adverse of circumstances. No, Job was willing to curse everything else, but he never would curse his God. He never switched sides. He stayed loyal to his God. Some of you know what that's like. You've gone through stuff, and it's like you may have said a lot of stuff you wish you hadn't said and did a lot of stuff you wish you hadn't done, but in the middle of it all, you never thought someone or someone else or something else was your God. And, you know, people talk about the Bible Belt. Talk, you know, sometimes bad mouth the people that live in the Bible Belt, you know, so sweet, sweet to your face, stab you in the back. It's not that all of that's untrue. But for the most part, you probably, I'm not saying you need to do this, but if you were to belly up at some bar downtown and started saying something bad about the Bible or Jesus, somebody would probably be ready to fight with you. Because you can talk about anything you want to, but don't start talking about Jesus. I'm just saying, God is merciful. God is faithful. and the enemy will come at you any way he can to try to shut you down. I have found over the years that a lot of times when you're going through a season, like when the enemy's like working extra hard trying to distract you or to get you in a place where you're not motivated, it's probably a time when God's preparing, equipping, and bringing things together, and you can smell victory in the wind. You're getting closer to breakthrough. So he is mounting an effort to shut you down. And we have to learn to discern when those kind of things are happening. Because I'm telling you, the enemy wants to weaponize your memory against you. He's the accuser of the brethren. Even Jesus in his perfections, the enemy came and took him through three very rigorous temptations. Well, that wasn't a big deal for Jesus. I mean, after all, he was perfect and he was God in human flesh. Don't you minimize what our Lord went through in those temptations. Hadn't eaten in 40 days. What did he do? He stood strong and used the word. He wasn't going to allow the enemy to reframe his circumstances and get him to doubt in his Father or forget who he was and what he was called to do. So if he had to go through that kind of warfare, you and I will have to face it too, where the enemy's trying to twist things, reframe your memories, dredge stuff up, run the video on a loop, trying to take you down to get you to forget who you are and the assignment you've been given. That's important. Another influencer is the world. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, you can see it right here, he says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he tells why your mind needs to be transformed so you can know what God's will is and do it. But notice how that's written there. Don't be conformed to the world, but that is a conjunction of contrast. Don't be pressed into the world's mode. Don't allow the thinking of the world to become the way you think about things. No, instead, you need to have your mind renewed so you live a transformed life. Because living in the culture where we are and being inundated by hundreds of thousands of opinions now through social media, by the way, do not live in the comment sections of social media. You'll go down a wormhole and never find your way back up. But it's like the old pioneers when they were moving west in those wagon trains, and they'd go through times when it would rain, and those wagons would make ruts in those trails. And those ruts would become deeper and deeper, then they would dry. And then when somebody else came through in a wagon, they'd try to stay out of that rut. But inevitably, if they weren't careful, the wagon would just slip right into those ruts. And that's a picture of what happens neurologically, I believe, but also psychologically and spiritually. We get in the world's way of doing it. We get in that rut. We just get pulled into that rut. And we become confined to worldly thinking. And by the way, the way we think, that our mind, the pressure the world puts on us, if our mind's not renewed, then we're using a carnal mind. And that's our third enemy, the flesh, our carnal mind. Paul states it unequivocally in Romans 8, the carnal mind is in enmity with God. In other words, your carnal mind and my carnal mind is God's enemy. It's an enemy of God. Your carnal mind is not on God's side. That is a fact of Scripture. Clearly stated in Scripture, our mind has to be renewed. And listen, it can happen to, you can be getting great revelation from God and slip off into that rut easily, very easily. Case in point, Jesus. Jesus to his disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Peter. You know, Simon, son of Jonah, from now on I'm going to call you Peter. Upon this confession, upon this rock I'll build my church. I mean, Peter got that big revelation. Just keep reading, you know, 4, 5, 6 verses later. He looks at Peter after Jesus said, hey, they're going to kill me. Peter said, no, not so, Lord. That'll never happen. He looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan, because you are not desiring the things of God, but of men. Yeah, great revelation one minute, flowing in the Spirit, getting revelation. But then, off in the rut, now he's operating with a carnal mind, the things of men, the things of the world. In other words, God has a plan, and this ain't it, Peter. You're listening to the devil. Get behind me, Satan. I don't know how it works, but the enemy can infiltrate our minds, and he can influence our memories. And there's scriptures, I won't get into that now, but it's just, there's scriptures to back that up. And we see about the carnal mind, that look at this Old Testament passage in the book of Numbers. And this is when children of Israel, they've been delivered from Egyptian bondage. They've seen the Red Sea parted. They saw a massive healing when they left Egypt. There wasn't a feeble person among them. They got loaded down with the wealth of Egypt as they left. God parted the Red Sea. God caused water to come out of a rock, caused manna to fall on the ground to feed them. They had a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm and provide light. They had a cloud by day to keep the sun off of them. All that stuff happened. He even sent them a dinner of quail one time. All this is happening, and Moses tells them, the people are crying out to Moses, and they say, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Yum, yum. See, they're in the middle of a hard spot in the wilderness, and they don't like what's happening. Now they're wanting to go back to Egypt. They even say it. We should just go back to Egypt. This is a work of the enemy working through the carnal mind. You know what's really at the heart of what they're saying there? It's really terrible when you think it through. What they are basically saying is, we trust Pharaoh with our future more than we trust our God. Can we get in that way of thinking? Sometimes the enemy will even use your memories to make you go sour on God. We see that happening right here. Now, here's a statement I want you to consider. This is nostalgia for Egypt is a trap. The flesh always edits out the pain of bondage, so you need to reject the false comfort of old sins. Let's think about that. You and your spouse just had a little spat. You're kind of tiffed. You're riding down the road, you turn the radio on, and there's one of the old love songs you and one of your old flames used to enjoy. That song brings back memories. That old flame burning. What's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to edit your memories. There was a country song that came out, I think it was in the early 90s, called Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. It's a cool song. This old boy thought he was going to marry this girl. And I mean, like, man, this is all I ever want, Lord. If you'll just answer this prayer, I won't ever need anything else. And then years later, he's with his beautiful wife, whom he loves dearly, and sees that old flame. Oh, thank God for unanswered prayers. Because the enemy knows how to edit your memories. He reminds you of the pleasures of sin. And wants you to eclipse and forget all the pain that your sin got you into. I know the few times I went to the, well, really just a few, to the principal's office. On the way back to the room to find my seat at the desk, I understood there was a consequence for that stupid thing I'd just done. You know, but the sad thing is, by the time the next year rolled around, I'd kind of edited that out and forgotten it. And then sometimes you have to go again to the principal's office and you get reminded, right? I'm just saying, be careful. The enemy will put he will put a carrot on that stick of that old memory. But it's got a hook in it, and he'll snag you and bring you into bondage. Because the Israelites, they were forgetting the bondage. The scars on their backs from the whips where they were beaten and making and baking bricks out in the hot sun. Living lives as slaves. Serving those who lived in luxury. The enemy does that kind of stuff. He'll whisper his seductive deceptions. He will. Don't find comfort in your old sins. Turn that slideshow off. Not interested. When the enemy tries to bring the memory up, what you did, you just remind him that is under the blood of Jesus. That scene's been deleted in Jesus' name. Here are some indicators when the enemy is weaponized in our memories. Unprofitable imagination. It's amazing how we can begin to imagine, you know, get a memory, or a thought comes, and we'll start inflating. We'll get some extreme things going on that have nothing to do with what's really true. We need Holy Spirit help to discern what's really going on. Sometimes it's unreasonable stubbornness. We don't want to let go of that memory. You may still find pleasure in replaying those sins. And that's one of the ways the enemy uses to reel you back in. It could be uncontrollable thoughts. This is like when you're getting fire hosed with those thoughts that are just bombarding you. And sometimes we can become demonized because of if we begin to meditate on and rehearse these things. Unholy soul ties. That's when you're bound to a person, a place, or an object. You can have these ties to that person or that place or that object. You see, the different things that bring trauma in your life, the enemy wants to use us. I found this to be true through the years of ministering, particularly people that have been abused as a child, innocent child. It's amazing how something evil can happen to a child, and the same influence behind that evil that happens can convince that child that somehow it's their fault. That's evil. That's the work of the enemy. God needs to pour his healing oil into those memories to bring wholeness. It's so important. Even your body can store memories of things that's happened to you. It's called somatic memory. It's like your muscles can remember things. When we talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, there can be somatic memory where your body reacts to certain sounds. I had one of my buddies in school, his dad was in the war. I think it was the Korean War that he was in, but sometimes when it would thunder real loud, he would hit the floor. His body was reacting from those years in the war. I'll give you an example. When I was growing up, we lived 2 or 3 miles out of town, and between where we lived and town, we had to cross the railroad 2 different times. So growing up, we'd cross that railroad hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. By the time Mickey and I were married, they came through and they pulled up all the railroad tracks. The train wasn't running anymore. And here I am all these years later, about to have my 50th high school reunion in a couple of weeks. When I drive through that area, without thinking, you know what I find myself doing when I go over that place where the railroad used to be? Without thinking, my foot automatically moved toward the brake to slow down so I can cross that railroad track. Hadn't been there for years. And sometimes we go through things in life. It's like those grooves or those places in our memories where we react to those things that happened long ago. Sometimes a person's spouse may be having to deal with what someone else did to you. Those things that happened in the past builds a wall that stands between you and the person you have now. And God wants to see those things torn down, wants to pour in his healing oil to help you to be healed, to be set free, to be made whole. So important. The last thing, and I'll do this very briefly, the Holy Spirit wants to heal your memories and stir up worship within you. Here's the scripture. Jesus said in John 14, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, the primary context here is he's telling his apostles, there's going to come a time when you're going to write down everything that I've said, and it became the Bible, and I'll make sure that you remember correctly. That's one thing that plays into our belief of the authority of Scripture. But another secondary context is the Holy Spirit can bring anything to our remembrance that God needs to use to help us to in our journey to be made whole. Sometimes he may bring a scripture to our memory. Sometimes he may remind us of a past faithfulness in our life. All of this is so important for us to understand. And in 2 Peter, we're told that we can stir ourselves up. Peter said, I'm stirring you up by writing this. But we can be stirred up by remembering. He's reminding them of things he had taught them. Sometimes it's not a new revelation that you're needing. You just need to remember a lesson you previously learned. Been there, done that. Remember what God did, how you came through that. Don't forget the pain. Don't let the enemy edit that memory. God saw you through, and he'll see you through this. We don't need to live being taunted are tormented by things that have happened in our past. Because God's got a good future for you. Like Kim Clement used to rapidly or prophesy in rap form, I see you in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. You look much better than you look right now. I see you in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. God's got a good future for you. I don't want to edit that, but I will add to it. Because I see you in your history, and you look better now than you did back then. You look better now than you did back then. You don't want to go back to who you were before you were saved, I guarantee you. I don't know what you're in the middle of, but you look better now than you did back then. Because you were lost without hope in the world. You were dead in trespasses and sin, and your ticket was punched for an eternity of separation from God in hell. But when Jesus came, he rescued you from that, and now he's wanting to renew your mind, pour healing oil into your memories, and make you whole. You are not defined by your past. You're defined by what God's Word says about you. That's the truth. You are who He says you are. And as you stand and as our worship team comes and our prayer team members come forward, I decree and declare over your life this morning that the plans that Father has for you, they are good and not evil. They are plans to prosper you and give you a future that is filled with hope. That's Jeremiah 29:11, that same prophet that we read about in Lamentations. God had a future for Judah in the middle of all the mess, in all the misery. He promised them that he would be working in miraculous ways to bring them into a future where they are prospered. You don't have to live with that burden anymore. What is it that you keep being tormented by? What is it from your past that you haven't been able to move past? I'm telling you this morning, the Holy Spirit can help you. Our prayer team members will pray with you. We believe in breakthrough prayer. We believe that when we pray for people, the Holy Spirit begins to move and work. Chains can be broken. Sin can be cleansed because of what Jesus has done. And lives can be changed and transformed. And that can be you right now. Oh, Father God, I pray across this room right now, those that are burdened, those that are carrying a weight you don't want them to carry, those whose minds may be confused, their future may look blurry, I pray that there would be a clarity that would come forth this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit would begin to move with conviction. you would bring forth fruit in our lives here today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, if there's an area of your life that needs to be changed, the Holy Spirit will at times convict you. You'll know it's Him because you'll be drawn to the Lord. When the enemy's working, you'll feel separated and pushed away, like you won't want to draw near. But when Holy Spirit's working, He's drawing you near to the Lord. Kind of like those little bumps on the side of the road. When you start getting off the road, they start vibrating your car. That's like the Holy Spirit convicting. He's letting you know you need to move back between the lines so that you can get where you're supposed to go. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's doing that in your life. You come right now if you need prayer. Just step out from where you are. Just come on up. Our prayer team will pray. We're going to sing a moment. I'll release you in just a moment to go. But let's give people an opportunity to respond. Would you come as we sing?